Paul Harris filling in for Carney. Seems like every day for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, whenever the Harvey Weinstein revelations came out, we have heard stories about some man, celebrity or business leader or politician, involved in some sort of sexual harassment story. And today, we added this guy to the list.
You know, it's been almost 6 years since I reported on the Al Franken decade, giving tips on what you can do for me, Al Franken. And you know, a lot of well-meaning people come up to me and say, Al, is it still the Al Franken decade? Yes, it is.
Well, I think today may be the beginning of a new decade for Al Franken, because there are reports out of a woman in Los Angeles named Leanne Tweeden, whose work I only know from hosting late night poker shows for NBC, Poker After Dark and others, for many, many years. She is now the morning news anchor on KABC Radio in Los Angeles, and today released on that website a story of Al Franken groping her back in 2006 when she was on a USO tour with him and several other performers, and they went to the Middle East. And she says that Franken wrote some skits for the show and brought props and costumes and asked her if she would go along with them, and she looked at him and she said, well, you know, I understand that these are full of sexual innuendo, but after all, we're gearing this for a young male audience of soldiers. And she also knows that those men probably knew her because she had been in Maxim and Playboy and on the cover of FHM and had done some work for Fredericks of Hollywood. And she was only supposed to be the MC and introduce the acts, but Franken said, I wrote a part for you. I think it would be funny. Would you play along with this? And she said, yes. And in there, he had written a moment where his character goes at her for a kiss. And she wasn't really going to be too happy about that, but he kind of pressed her to do it. And not only that, moments before they were going on stage, he pressed her to rehearse the kiss. And she says it's then that after saying, no, 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 I don't want to do that, she finally agreed because, after all, she had agreed to go on this tour and kind of play along. And Al Franken reached over and grabbed her by the back of the head and pulled her head to his and not only mashed his lips against her, but forced his tongue into hers, which she said made her feel disgusted and violated. She says she didn't tell anybody. She didn't tell the sergeant major of the army. She did tell some of the other people who were on tour, but nobody in power because, quote, I didn't want to cause trouble. We were in the middle of a war zone. It was the first show of our holiday tour. I was a professional. I could take care of myself. I did tell a few others on the tour what Franken had done, and they knew how I felt about it. I tried to let it go, but I was angry. And then she goes on to say that Franken didn't like her after that because she wouldn't kiss him on stage at all. She'd even told him, if you do that again, I'm going to punch you in the face. But then when they were coming home after this 2 weeks of grueling travel and performing, they were on a C-17 cargo plane back from Afghanistan. She was exhausted, immediately fell asleep, still wearing her flak vest and her Kevlar helmet. And she says, it wasn't until I was back in the U.S. and looking through the CD of photos we were given by the photographer that I saw this one. This one is a picture of her asleep in her helmet and Kevlar vest and Al Franken looking at the photographer but reaching out with both of her hands, his hands and grabbing her breasts. Leanne Tweeden says, I couldn't believe it. He groped me without my consent while I was asleep. I felt violated all over again, embarrassed, belittled, humiliated. How dare anyone grab my breast like this and think it's funny? I didn't do anything about it then. But now I have to talk about it. I am no longer afraid. And besides, I have memories of other women telling me similar stories, not about him, but about their own sexual assaults. And I want to make sure that I join the chorus of women who are saying, enough is enough. That's Leanne Tweeden, who now, as I said, is a morning news anchor in Los Angeles. Jen Chaney is our culture person from Vulture and covers this and lots of other stories in the show business realm. And I've asked her to come on and comment on this. Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What do you think of this story?
You know, I'm profoundly disappointed to see this kind of thing coming out about Al Franken. But the reality is, as you alluded to earlier, this sort of behavior apparently does not know political party. It doesn't know ideology. Men on both sides of the aisle and in all types of industries are committed this behavior, have committed this behavior, continue to commit this kind of behavior. And I I think that it's something that has to be addressed and dealt with. And Franken, he issued an apology initially that was, you know, kind of tone deaf. And so he issued a much better one a short time later. And he has called for, you know, Congress to do an ethics investigation on him. But we'll see where all that goes. And we'll also see whether anyone else comes forward to say that something similar has happened. So far, it's just Leanne Tweeden. But, you know, in some of these recent cases, we've seen one woman come forward and then a few others start to come forward after that. So we'll see if this is a pattern or just, you know, a one-time incident.
In that statement you alluded to, Al Franken says, quote, "The first thing I want to do is apologize to Leanne, to everyone else who was part of that tour, to everyone who's worked for me, to everyone I represent, and to everyone who counts on me to be an ally and supporter and champion of women. There's more I want to say, but the first and most important thing, and if it's the only thing you care to hear, that's fine, is I'm sorry. I respect women. I don't respect men who don't. And the fact that my own actions have given people a good reason to doubt that makes me feel ashamed. But I want to say something else, too. Over the last few months, all of us, including and especially men who respect women, have been forced to take a good hard look at our own actions and think, perhaps shamefully for the first time, about how those actions have affected women." I think that's what we've been seeing a lot of, and you and I talked about this last week. More and more of that kind of thing is hopefully seeping into the consciousness of men in this country, right?
Well, you know, that would be my hope. I will say, though, that I feel like while there should not be political party involved in this in terms of how these things have been responded to, and I'm specifically talking about the Roy Moore situation.
Yes.
Where people are, you know, as we're talking about this, there's a rally going on where people are saying, you know, it's okay that he had these relationships with these girls who are clearly underage. It seems to be seeping into some people who immediately grasp that their behavior is shameful and not seeping in at all for others. And I think that, you know, this is something that we all should be able to agree on is wrong and needs to be corrected.
That's very true. And by the way, in Roy Moore's case, we're talking about one of the first accusers, Lee Korfman, was 14 at the time, which, you know, that's not just sexual harassment or sexual assault. That's pedophilia.
Exactly. Right.
Now,
right, and I think what's difficult too is, and I've been having a conversation about this on my Facebook page half of my day, is, you know, there's so many of these cases now that we've started to compare these things by degrees, where we say, well, what Al Franken did isn't so bad because at least he's not a pedophile, or at least he didn't, you know, allegedly assault and potentially rape.
Yeah.
30 or 40 women and prevent them from having careers like Harvey Weinstein did. It's like, well, yeah, that's true. And there are degrees, but nevertheless, it's all bad and wrong.
Yep.
So the bar just keeps getting lower so that even when something like this happens with Al Franken, it somehow doesn't seem as bad, even though it is bad.
Yeah. There are gradations of being a disgusting predator. And all of it's bad, as you said. Let me just read one other thing from Franken's statement. He says, "Coming from the world of comedy, I've told and written a lot of jokes that I once thought were funny, but later came to realize were just plain offensive. But the intentions behind my actions aren't the point at all. It's the impact these jokes had on others that matters, and I'm sorry it's taken me so long to come to terms with that." That's something I think is important for everybody who's in the communication business in any way, performer or otherwise, to keep in mind that it doesn't matter what your intentions are, it matters what the impact is.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, that's something that we've been talking about, and I think we'll be talking about more specifically, as Al Franken was alluding to, in the comedy world, because of the Louis C.K. scandal, which you and I were just talking about a week ago as it was just starting to unfold.
Yep.
Where, you know, Jon Stewart was asked about that on the Today Show, and he said something very similar, that, you know, it was very easy for people to laugh that off and say, ah, that guy's not like that, because a lot of the guys in comedy didn't see it, or they thought, ah, women can't take a joke. And, you know, I think that that's, people are starting to understand that's not how we should respond. And I think often, and it's not just men who respond this way, I think a lot of times I have seen women have a similar response where they'll say, you know, eh, I'm casting doubt on that. I don't believe that. You know, why can't people just lighten up? And I think, you know, these kinds of things, they're out of the bounds of lighten up. I mean, they're in a different category.
Yeah. Here's something I never want to hear anybody say. Oh, that's just how he is. No, sorry, not acceptable. Now, while we're talking about this, we have to talk about the new revelations today in the Daily Mail, a British tabloid, about Sylvester Stallone. Have you seen these?
I have. It is hard to keep up, Paul, I will tell you, but yes, I have.
You know, when I booked you for today's show, I thought we were going to be talking about some pilots on Amazon.
I just talk about TV. How did all this happen? No, I absolutely did, and I think... for people who don't know, there's a story that has, it's really from an old police report from like 1986, accusing Sylvester Stallone of sexually assaulting a teenager in the 80s. Or really, the sex between them was apparently consensual on some level, although obviously she was underage. But then his bodyguard was involved as well, and there were threats made against her, and she never wanted to file charges because she was understandably scared.
And because she was threatened, Stallone said, if you tell anybody about this, we'll have to beat your head in, allegedly.
Yes, right. Right. And so this is not the victim coming forward years later saying, hey, I want to raise this. This is you know, reporters at the Daily Mail going back and finding, you know, an old police report. So that's the kind of thing I think we're just going to see over and over again, is not only women, you know, bravely coming forward after being quiet for many years, but also journalists doing the digging themselves and finding, you know, evidence of this stuff that has been there all along that we've really either not known about or ignored.
And meanwhile, the old Vic in London released a report that says 20 people who worked there felt that Kevin Spacey did inappropriately sexual things with them.
Yes, and again, did not necessarily, either didn't say anything or didn't want to really take it further because of his power, because they felt that there would be repercussions for them in their career or in other ways. And I can understand why people would feel that way. And it's interesting to go back and read, you know, in Kevin Spacey's case, a lot of these guys, like, they engage in behavior that is bullying, take the sexual stuff out of it. They're known for maybe not necessarily being so nice to people in general. And so the idea that they would then perpetrate the kind of behavior that they've perpetrated, like, this all seems to be of a piece. People who are not necessarily treating other people with kindness. I mean, I had breakfast with Kevin Spacey once. I interviewed him. I had no idea that he was capable of doing any of the stuff that he's done, but nevertheless, I did get a vibe from him just from that one experience, like, man, I would not want to make that guy mad.
Oh, that's interesting. That's power.
Yeah.
And that's what is at the heart of a lot of this sort of stuff. I'm not sure that it's all power. Some of it's just guys being jerks. But in many cases, it's the power dynamic. Harvey Weinstein may be the greatest example of that.
I think it's certainly the power that makes people stay silent about it. That's the key thing.
Let me correct myself. That's not the greatest example of that. You got a former president and a current president who would both fit in this category.
Right.
But let's not get into that. Now, I've got 3 minutes. Tell me about these Amazon pilots that we were originally going to talk at length about today that you've seen and whether or not they're worth streaming.
Sure. So this is something that Amazon does routinely, is they put out pilots and they give viewers an opportunity to watch like an initial episode and to sort of play the role that, you know, a broadcasting executive routinely plays to watch it and say, does this deserve to become a series? And they put out 3 last Friday. They're all half-hour comedies, so you can watch them, dramedies, really. But they're half-hour, so they're easy to watch quickly. And of the 3, the one that I think is the most interesting and that I think has the best shot at actually becoming a series is Sea Oak, which is based on a short story written by George Saunders, and it stars Glenn Close, who really hasn't had a big TV role since Damages. As a woman, a middle-aged woman who has her kind of ne'er-do-well nieces and a nephew living with her in this low-income type of community, and something shocking happens to her in the middle of the episode that changes their lives, and then there's a twist at the end. I realize I'm being vague, but I'm being vague so that people can experience it.
Good.
I'm on board for that, just if nothing else, to watch Glenn Close dig into this role.
Okay, so that's called Sea Oak, and it'd be interesting to see if she gets another TV series going here, if people like it. What's the one with, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. I remember her from the Amy Schumer.
Bridget Everett.
Bridget Everett, yeah, she's got one. What's that about?
That one's called Love You More, and Bridget Everett is a comedian. She's also, as you mentioned, she was in Trainwreck with Amy Schumer, and she's done some other things with Amy Schumer. And actually, the beginning of this episode reminded me a little bit of Trainwreck, because the character she plays is a woman who does all those kind of stereotypically bad things that people do in TV shows and movies. She drinks too much. She sleeps with people haphazardly. She's kind of a mess. But she has a job working at a home for adults with Down syndrome. And so she has this wonderful patience and this great compassion working with these people. And so you see some layers to this character just in that first episode and some real range that Bridget Everett has as a performer. I didn't like it quite as much as I did Sea Oak, but I could again see the potential in it and the potential in her as an actress. So I think there's a good chance Amazon will pick that one up too.
Okay, and what's the third one?
The third one, which I also liked, is called The Climb. And that is about, it's kind of like an answer to Insecure. It's about a couple of women who are telemarketers, and one in particular who's played by D'Ara Kilpatrick, who created the series, is kind of dreaming of something more for her life. But the issue with that pilot to me was that it came to such a obvious kind of conclusion that it almost felt like, well, does this need to be a series? Like, it almost worked as a standalone short film. But maybe there's more story to tell there. I'm not sure. But I did like that all of these, either behind the camera, in front of the camera, or both, were very focused on women, which is really nice to see.
Sea Oak, Love You More, and The Climb. And I just want to quickly mention that there was a show that was on a couple years ago on Amazon streaming video, Prime streaming video, called Good Girls Don't, which got canceled by Ray Price, who then got thrown out of his job for sexual harassment charges. Ironically, the show was about sexual harassment of women in the late 60s, and there's talk about it coming back. Just quickly, do you know if that's going to happen?
I don't know for sure if it is. Actually, the show is called Good Girls Revolt.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Good Girls Don't was a song by The Knack.
Yes.
You know, apropos to these times. But, I don't know if it's coming back for sure. I know that a lot of fans were advocating for that. And then when Roy Price ended his tenure there, there was a sense of like, well, gosh, they really should bring it back just out of principle.
I sure hope it does.
They haven't made an announcement, but we'll see.
Jen, I'm all out of time. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Paul Harris. This is KTRS.